Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, February 20th. A new bill in the Colorado legislature would ask voters to change the formula for how the state can invest in public services and infrastructure, including roads and bridges.
Colorado voters could be asked to update the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, or TABOR, the 25-year-old constitutional amendment, if House Bill 1187 passes. The measure would change the formula that limits how much the state can invest in roads and schools by linking economic growth to how much people earn instead of the price of consumer goods in the state population. Representative Dan Thurlow, the bill's co-sponsor, says the proposal is in sync with the spirit of TABOR, which mandates that voters approve spending increases.
Absolutely. The voters should decide. And I would ask if there's any policy that you have in your business or your personal life that you don't evaluate after 25 years. I suspect you always do. And I think it's time to reevaluate this one.
Thurlow explains the current formula doesn't account for items the state actually spends money on. According to the Colorado Fiscal Institute, since TABOR, the cost of consumer goods has gone up by 64%, but the cost of road construction has more than doubled, and education costs are up 207%. Thurlow believes the current formula is one reason the state now ranks 48th nationally in high school graduation rates. He says as a result of TABOR, when the economy expands and spending contracts, taxpayers get refunds, but critical infrastructure needs go unmet. The state is set to give $270 million back to Colorado residents this year, but Thurlow says split between more than 5 million people, it doesn't add up to much.
My contention is that if the voters look at this, and that's what the proposal does, it sends it to the ballot and the voters get to choose, that they will choose to invest in the future of our state rather than getting a $30 or $40 refund back.
House Bill 1187 was introduced this week. A hearing is scheduled in the House Finance Committee on February 27th. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Colorado is roughly a third of the way through the four-month-long legislative session. As part of our weekly Capitol conversation, Benta Berkland sat down with State House reporters to take stock of the big issues this session and to look at some of the controversial debates that have happened.
Joining us today, we have John Frank, a reporter for the Denver Post, and Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. A lot of bills are not progressing very far in each chamber, and Peter, that's because they're pretty controversial and divisive along partisan lines.
Yeah, basically what we saw was the perennial bills, the perennial controversial issues, abortion and guns. Credit to the legislature, they kind of packaged them up into committee hearings. So like with the gun bills, a lot of which would have rolled back efforts by the legislature when it was controlled by Democrats in 2013 to crack down on high-capacity ammunition magazines, universal background checks, things like that. We see every year an attempt to roll that back, and they didn't go anywhere. And then similarly, a lot of the abortion bills, which tried to ban abortion and some interesting stuff around apparently you can reverse an abortion, which was a new one in the legislature this year. They had a discussion on that. Again, didn't go anywhere, but at least they're out of the way. Now there's just, you know, actual other issues out there that they have to advance.
A lot of these bills were actually pretty interesting, and they have their own constituencies. And Peter's right, we do see a lot of them every year. But for instance, we had the National Popular Vote Bill, which had a new momentum after the 2016 election, of course, when Hillary Clinton won the popular vote but lost the White House. We saw other bills that dealt with immigration. We're seeing a lot of things tie into the national political mood right now. The immigration bill in particular would have required police officers in Colorado to be citizens of the U.S. That bill's still making its way through the legislature, but is expected to die in the Democratic House. So we're seeing lots of hot-button issues, lots of Washington politics, and that tone is carrying in here at the State House.
Following along those lines, how do you think that national mood will impact discussions on some of the big-ticket items that are still out there?
So that's it right there, Benta. I mean, how are these national politics going to overshadow the important work that they actually have to get done for the people of Colorado, funding crumbling roads and highways, dealing with education funding, coming up with a solution for construction defect reform and housing development. So far, the Senate Republicans have kind of been the, you know, adults in the room when it comes to the transportation funding issue. In the House, we kind of saw it go sideways. We saw Chrisanta Duran elevate the conversation by connecting transportation funding to education. We saw House Republicans respond with a very strong statement saying that it seems like Democrats have given up. But when you ask Republicans in the Senate about this, they're being a little bit more mature about it. They're being a little bit more cautious and saying, I get it. Everybody's got an opinion on this. We're still working on moving forward. So there's hope there.
And John, even without the national mood, these issues are always difficult to resolve.
It's often the case in the 120-day legislative session, of which, you know, we're a third through, that these issues come to fruition at the very end. But they have to start making progress. And it's gotten so tough, and particularly the negotiations on transportation, that the governor put a kind of arbitrary deadline on there saying, do something by the end of March or else. So the lawmakers are going to have to get together on this issue if they want to deliver on their promise from the start of session to improve the roads in Colorado.
Thanks. That was John Frank with the Denver Post, Peter Marcus with ColoradoPolitics.com. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Many Colorado groups signed a letter urging congressional oversight, as three proposed mega mergers would create companies that would control nearly 70% of the world's pesticide market. Eric Galatis has the story.
Nearly 325 organizations have signed a letter pressing new U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions to make sure the Justice Department does its job without political interference when it looks at a proposal to let Dow Chemical and DuPont, Monsanto and Bayer, and Syngenta and ChemChina merge. Tiffany Fink Haynes with Friends of the Earth says her group and others want Congress to provide oversight because President Donald Trump met with the CEO of Monsanto just before he was inaugurated.
It raised a lot of ethics questions for lawyers who are very well versed in antitrust law, because they said that this is very uncommon, that presidents hardly ever and really in history have not interfered in this way.
The letter says if all three deals were to close, the newly created companies would control nearly 70% of the world's pesticide market, more than 60% of commercial seed sales, and 80% of the U.S. corn seed market. Trump has said the mergers would create jobs and boost the U.S. economy. Joe Maxwell, who heads the Organization for Competitive Markets, says big mergers are bad for the environment, small farmers, rural communities, and consumers. He cites climate change as one reason the nation needs more diversified and competitive development.
There's little incentive for these companies to do further research and development on seeds. We all worry about having too few strains or genes in those seeds. We become too dependent, we'll look just like Ireland did in a potato famine.
Lisa Griffith, interim director of the National Family Farm Coalition, adds when these types of mergers happen, prices go up and some seed varieties disappear.
A lot of these varieties that are available from the agrochemical corporations are GM varieties, genetically modified, which may not be what the farmer wants.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.